Okay, so I have rephrased slightly the title of my talk so that it sounds a bit more generic. Indeed, this is about the search for new physics in multi-W events. By multi-W, I mean events with at least three W. So this is actually worked done, well, one work with some ATLAS experimental is based in Oxford, which is 1 year and a half ago, and a more recent work with the fellow theorist Roberto Contino, which appeared earlier this year. So I am interested in events, actually 4W events, which arise from the pair production of new heavy quarks. So actually, I'm interested in those quarks, which will decay into a top and a W. So this corresponds to new quarks carrying electric charge minus one third, so new heavy bottom quarks. So there are many motivations. So you can think of a fourth generation B quark, or you can think of in little Higgs models the B, the partner of the standard model B, or Kaluza-Klein quarks. And an even stronger motivation are actually those models where the Higgs is a pseudo-Goldstone boson. So we already heard about this several times at this conference. So the idea here is that so the Higgs is a Goldstone boson of a spontaneously broken global symmetry, and the quadratic divergence of the top to the Higgs mass is cancelled by new partners of the same spins, so what I would call top partners. And this, by naturalness, these new fermions should have a mass below or up to 1 TeV. So particularly motivated is the case in which the electroweak symmetry breaking sector is strongly interacting. In this case, there is no need to introduce a fundamental scalar, and the Higgs is a bound state of the fundamental constituents. So the reason why these models have received a revival of interest recently is because of their dual description in terms of higher dimensional theories. And these, so the strong sector actually corresponds to warped extra dimension, and the resonances of the strong sector corresponds to the Kaluza-Klein excitations on the 5D side. And this, this actually allows to, this five-dimensional description allows to address flavor and UV completion. So there are actually very strong constraints on this class of theories from electroweak precision. And these, the LEP constraints have provided a guide on what kind of models, on the very on a very specific structure of models. So first, the bound on rho leads to the conclusion that you should introduce a custodial symmetry. So the strong sector should be invariant under SU2 left possession. And in addition, this custodial symmetry should actually include a custodial parity in order to evade the bounds on the ZBV bar coupling. And a very strong, so a strong prediction from this structure here is that you will have, so the type of models which will satisfy more or less the constraints are models where you have new heavy partners, T left, B left, and they have to form a 2,2 and the rest to left cross SU to right. So essentially, the only thing you have to remember for this talk is that the existence of the prediction of is that the existence of these new partners. So here we have two doublet Q, Q prime. So Q here, the same quantum numbers as the usual T left and B left. And you have a custodian partner with one fermionic state which with the electric charge 2/3 and another one with exotic charge 5/3. So essentially here you have two building blocks, so the strongly interacting sector here. You have also a singlet T-tilde, and the Higgs is a B-doublet. And this strongly interacting sector couples to the weakly elementary sector here via mass mixing terms. And the Higgs, so I have the Higgs couples only to the composite states. And due to these mixing mass terms, now I will have Yukawa interaction between the Higgs and the standard model and the heavy resonances. And I'm showing you now these couplings here. So I have these new resonances here, and they couple strongly to the third generation, so the top and bottom. And so they can decay into a standard model third generation quark and a longitudinal W or Z, or the Higgs. So what I am interested in here is the pair prediction of these new quarks. And I will focus on actually this B guy here, which decay into a top and W, and this T5 third quark, which also can exactly decay into a top and W. And what you have to remember here is that the essentially these particles decay, the branching ratio into TW is essentially equal to 1 here. So just a little bit of history. So the production of heavy quarks with electric charge 2/3 has been studied in the literature. So here I'm reporting, for instance, so heavy top pair production. And the reach, so typically you need quite large luminosity to reach masses up to 2 TeV. So this is with single production. Pair production has also been studied. And you can reach 1 TeV masses with something like 90 inverse femtobarn. And interestingly, the production of heavy bottom has been studied only recently. Just a remark here that there is no direct bound on the mass of these heavy bottoms from Tevatron. As actually there are searches for B prime, but they always assume that the B prime decays exclusively into a bottom and a Z. But they have not been any studied on B prime decaying into a top and a W. So last year there were actually two studies which appeared more or less simultaneously. So one with these collaborators from ATLAS. So we looked at this final state and just wanted to have an idea with low luminosity, 10 inverse femtobarn. Whether you can get some evidence for the production of this multi-W final state. So the idea here is that you trigger on at least one lepton, and then you search for hadronic Ws. So if you subtract one hadronic W from the background, then you should not have any feature in the digit invariant mass. Right, since from essentially the main problem here is the TT bar background. So once you have subtracted one hadronic W from the signal, you expect a peak here, and this is indeed what you can see. Another strategy which was put forward by Skiba and Tucker-Smith. It works well in the case where you have heavy masses, at least 1 TeV. And the idea is to actually have a cut on single jet invariant mass. So the idea is that you have, if you search for very heavy states, the decay product will be very boosted and collimated so that you cannot resolve individual jets. And you will see some double jets. So, for instance, this W the two jets from this W will be merged. Okay, so the main difficulty here is essentially the TT-bar background. So one strategy that we are advocating here with Roberto Contino is to actually select event with the same sign d'Aleptons. In this case, you get rid of the TT-bar background. Right, so I'm just showing you here. So pair reduction of B and T5/3, so it leads to exactly the same final state, although with different charge configuration. So from the B, the two same sign leptons come from two different Bs, while for the T5/3, once you trigger on two same sign leptons, you actually can fully reconstruct the mass of this guy in a full hadronic chain. So this is the advantage here. Okay, so the reason why it's interesting to look at this same sign dilaton final state is that really the standard model background is very tiny. Something I haven't said yet is that the standard model background for 3W is something less than 1 picobar, and for 4W it's less than 200 femtobar. So here I'm showing you the cross section, the pair production cross section. So this is just standard model process, a standard model QCD coupling, and I compare with the single production. So you see for 500 GeV mass, we have a cross section of the order of 2.5 picobar, and for 1 TeV of the order of 40 femtobar. Okay, so the signal we are searching for will be two same sign leptons plus N jets plus missing energy. So here are the cross section and the backgrounds we are considering. So essentially, the backgrounds are TT bar WW, TT bar W, 3W, and also the 2W. Two same sign W here plus jets. And to be conservative, we have actually estimated those backgrounds in the worst case, so corresponding to the Higgs mass at 180 GeV, but it includes the resonant contribution from the Higgs here. So we have simulated these events. And the only detector effect that we took into account here is to smear the energy and momentum of the jets. So the other background that one should consider, at least think about. So those events where one lepton comes from a B decay. But these leptons are actually very soft, and they are completely removed by our cut on the lepton PT. And actually, the most serious one would be still TT bar plus jets, where the charge of one lepton is misidentified. So you see, since the cross section for TT bar is so large, even a very small probability for charge misidentification. This can lead to a significant background. For instance, just 1% of mis-ID probability would lead to a TT-bar background, which is of the same order as the other ones which we have considered. So this is actually still some. So we have not included this background because we have no really reliable information on this background since it's not available. But our CMS colleague actually working on it, and it looks like for muons, this can be put to 10 to the minus 5 safely. For electrons, it's a little bit more dangerous, so it could go maybe to 1%, but this strongly depends on the PT and the eta of the lepton. So in our simulation, we have not yet put this background, but we believe it's actually safe. All right, and there is also the WL plus L minus background, which we did not simulate for technical reasons, but we estimated, and it should be within our uncertainties. I mean, it should be under control. Okay. So I'm showing you now the results. So an important piece of information first comes from the distribution of the jets. So here I'm showing you the number of jets for background and signal. So for the background, it's peaked at 2, and for the signal, it's peaked a bit, well, at 5 and 6. So, and you see that it's actually very comparable for 500 GeV and 1 TeV masses. So in the case of 500 GeV, the 5 jet bin is actually populated by events where the 6th jet is actually too soft to pass our cuts. While for 1 TeV, this bin is populated by events where 2 jets from a W have merged. So in the 1 TeV case, you almost always have a double jet from 1W. So here, this is just to illustrate the fact that depending on the delta R choice, you of course obtain quite different distributions. So here, this is to show you exactly the fact that for 1 TeV, so I'm plotting here the invariant mass of the hardest jet, that at for what the signal corresponding to 1 TeV quarks, I have many events where 2 jets from the W are actually merged. So you see, the signal in my final state has 6 jets, but most of the time I will actually have only 5. So here, this is the invariant mass of the second hardest jet. So really, in my event, I only have one double jet. Now, of course, if I change the size of delta R, I start to see even for 500 GeV masses, double jet here corresponding to the W, and at 1 TeV I even see some single jet from the top. Okay, so I'm showing you this because of this paper by Skiba and Tucker-Smith, where they were advocating this method of using a single jet mass, and we decided actually that we are actually going to use a delta R equal 0.4, and our strategy is to try to resolve as many jets as possible. And we just have to keep in mind that in the case of 1 TeV, there is one double jet in the sample. So we demand at least 5 hard jets, and so our final state is this one. 2 Sensine leptons, 5 jets, at least 5 jets plus missing energy. And we are going to study 2 cases. So the case where the mass is at 500 GeV, we're going to use a reference luminosity of 10 inverse femtobarn. And at 1 TeV, we'll increase to 100 inverse femtobarn. So here are the main cuts we are going to make. So we require that any jet has a PT at least of 30 GeV. And we make some hard cuts on the first and second jets here, as well on the leptons. And here is what we get. Okay, so these are the efficiencies. So these cuts, typically you keep half of the signal, but you see that they are they reduce strongly the background. So I'm showing you here first the case, so we first studied the case of 500 GeV masses. And you see that there is essentially no background. I mean, this is the background-free environment. This is, the background is in white here. So this is a very clean environment. And so here we are distinguishing the case where there is only a B, okay, a B quark. And the light gray corresponds to the sample where we have both this T5/3 and B quarks in the event, in the model. So these are two types of model, if you want. So we clearly see the resonance here at twice the mass. And this is confirmed if you plot the invariant mass of the hardest 5 jets. And you can clearly see a peak here, well, around 500 GeV. So in the case where you have indeed this T5/3, you have reconstructed, well, you can see the resonance. While in the case where you have only Bs, you have a much smoother, you have essentially no peak. As expected. And so here the dotted lines correspond to the case where you have B tagging. And you can clearly see now that the peak is well at 500 GeV. So I haven't put any efficiency factor here. I have put it to 1. So you will have to rescale, of course. And this is telling you that in the preliminary stage with this luminosity, you probably don't need to do any B tagging. Okay, so you can estimate what is the luminosity you need to claim a discovery here. And you see it's pretty small. So in the case where you have both types of partners, top partners, with only 16 verse picobarn, you reach the 5 sigma level. In the case where you have only B, you have to go up to 115 verse picobarn. Okay, so you can get a further confirmation of the fact that you have indeed produced this resonance, this T5/3, by now looking at what happens on the leptonic side. So I'm now showing the transverse mass of the, so these are the two leptons, two neutrinos and jets. So if you want the other quarks, so first we focus on the jets, so really on one of the T5/3, and the other side corresponds to the leptonic decay. And you can see in the case where you have both B and T5/3, you have some kind of approximate age. It's only approximate because you miss the information on the invariant mass of the two neutrinos. The problem here, you have two neutrinos. While here it's much smoother. Okay, so this is further confirmation that you have indeed produced these resonances. So you can replay exactly the same game at 1 TeV. So using exactly the same cut as before, which I mean are clearly not very sophisticated. And this is, okay, so now you have much more background, of course, but you can still, so here this is using more luminosity, but you can easily get rid of this background by making this extra cut here on the PT of the first jet, and also on this, on the sum of the first PT, the PT of the two leptons. You essentially get rid of the background, and as before, you can see the resonance here at twice the mass. And now you can plot the invariant mass of the hardest 4 jets. So now it's 4 jets compared to the 500 GeV case where I was plotting the hardest 5 jets, because if you remember, we have two jets which merge. So we have we actually reconstruct the mass out of 4 jets here. And again, you can improve a little bit things with detagging. So in the case of one TeV masses, the luminosity unit typically is something like 15 inverse femtograms. Okay, so this was the first part which corresponds to the discovery potential. Then you can really, because this is again the transverse mass on the, of the lepton. You can now try to really reconstruct the mass. So here the idea is to reconstruct the two W's and then to pair one of the W with the remaining jets to reconstruct the top. So we do this. These are the efficiencies. And this is what you obtain. So again, there is no background here. And you can clearly see the resonance. So what about the one TeV case? So you have to change a little bit the strategy here, since you have one double jet, a W jet. So you, in order to really make use of all the events and really exploit as much information as possible, so you can divide your samples into two types. The one where you can reconstruct two W's, and the sample where you can reconstruct only one W. So you do as before, but for the sample where you have only one W, you can reconstruct the top either from one W and from the W and one jet, or the top out of two jets. Okay. And you change a little bit your cuts. And so when you do this, here are what you get. So you have these three cases depending on how you reconstruct the top. And you see they give also, well, the three cases are successful, and you can add them up to get the final reconstruction. So here where you combine all the events, and you can easily reconstruct the mass here. So this is essentially what I wanted to show you on this. So the conclusion here is that this same sign, the lepton channel, is really a very promising channel. And essentially, the background is very, very suppressed, so you can probe. So the advantage here is that, of course, you can reconstruct the mass of this T5/3 quark, but it's also very useful to probe the more common heavy bottom quarks. So even if you do not reconstruct the mass in the case of the B, you can still see a large excess of events. So now if you really want to reconstruct the mass of the B, of course it's more complicated. So now I'm go back to the single lepton trigger, or even the, you would have to go to the opposite sign trigger, and there you will suffer again from the TT bar background. So we are still trying to deal with this with these colleagues. But I just wanted to show you. Okay, so this maybe. This is again plotting the digit invariant mass. So in the case now where you have to, where you suffer from the TT bar background, and you see in the D lepton trigger from the background, of course, you do not expect any feature, but from the signal you have a peak here at the W mass, telling you that there are at least three W in the event. Now we want to reconstruct the mass of this B. So here I'm showing some attempts in this direction. So this is here the mass of the invariant mass of the of five jets. Okay. And you can see that indeed you can get a peak. So I should say here we are a bit optimistic. Actually, the signal you should divide by a factor of two because we have assumed that we have actually two B spaces in the sample. So the situation is actually not so easy. So you can try to apply this single jet mass technique to get rid of the background. So here, this is to show you that indeed you have some events where two jets from a double decay are merged, and you can indeed try to make cuts on the single jet mass. So in the case where you have a much heavier fermion, here we try to reconstruct the mass out of three jets. So indeed assuming that one of the jets is W, and you can indeed get rid of the background this way and see the resonance. In the case of one TeV masses, you can even try to reconstruct the B out of two jets. So assuming that there is a jet corresponding to a top. So once again, this situation, the real situation will be not as good. There is a factor of two to take into account here in this plot. There are two B types of quarks in this sample. All right, so this is this was a parenthesis to tell you how the difficulty in probing heavy bees. Well, at least you would need several tenths of inverse femtoband to really be able to reconstruct this object. So this was to put the emphasis on the fact that if you use this tensile lepton channel, it's actually a very promising channel for at the very early stage of LHC, you can really make some discovery. So my conclusion here is that the heavy partners of the top are a robust and well-motivated prediction of a large class of non-supersymmetric models. And these same sign dilepton final states are very promising for not only reconstructing this exotic T5 third, but also for the discovery of heavy bottoms in general. So I should say, yes, this T5 third is a really distinctive prediction of this class of composite Higgs models that I presented at the beginning. So if you really can reconstruct this resonance in the early stage of LHC, it would be a very strong indication in the direction of this composite Higgs models. So you see, this we are talking really about early discovery, less than 100 inverse picoband needed for discovery if M is 500 GeV, and 15 inverse femtoband needed if M is 1 TeV. Okay, so here I have chosen these masses of 500 GeV and 1 TeV. You may say that this is that there are tensions in this model to have the resonance scale so low, but there is still quite a lot of work being done in model building to try to make this model compatible with both flavor and electric precision constraints. So of course, I first studied these easy cases, but if the mass has to be pushed a bit higher, you can actually go and study the single production, and this is something which is actually being looked at. We completely ignore the single production in this work. I know that the student of Ricardo Rattazzi is actually looking into it. We have both ATLAS and CMS experimentalists who are looking into this study. So we we already processed the samples into CMS fast, and now it's going into the full CMS simulation, and it's taking a lot of time. And we hope to have more insight on the background from TTBAR plus JETS with misidentification of the charge from them. Okay, so I think that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Jack has a question.
Now it's on. So I guess you have all, first of all, you have all the combinatorics built into your plots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my second question is, when you say you're going to measure the mass of the jet, how did you determine what the mass of the jet was in the way that you did your did you put in calorimeter cells and what have you?
No,
or you just
no,
simply
no.
Just simply put.
No, we didn't take any detector. No, so this is the difficulty, and this is why we didn't want to use too much this technique, actually. So. In what we are doing, I mean, we are trying to resolve as many jets as possible. Okay, so it's just in the last plot that I show, and this is with my experimentalist colleague, and they are taking more the detector into account. But with the work with Roberto, we really didn't want to.
And so you just took the partons and put them
exactly
together and got
right
to the jet. Okay.
And also, this technique very much relies on the jet algorithm, so.
Right,
that's why we didn't want to venture
question,
too much into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Other questions, comments?
Just in the pair production case, do you have a sense of how far you could have pushed up, you know, the reach in some sense with this approach?
Yeah, well, so you see, so this is with 100 inverse femtobarn, and it's not bad, right? I mean, here you see you have something like seven. So we didn't want to compute the significance because, of course, I mean, this is so preliminary, but. Maybe 1.5 TV, you can say something. Okay, the reconstruction would be a bit tough, but from the discovery, plots. You see here only 15 inverse femtobarn, and you have 5 sigma just from this. So I think you can. No, actually we didn't do it, so. I would not say explicit numbers, but I think 1.5 TV probably is. You can claim discovery from this plot.
I guess I was trying to confirm. So the error, the sort of fluctuations that we see here are Monte Carlo fluctuations. The actual error bars are not shown.
Which fluctuations?
They're just in the curves. The number of events, am I reading correctly, the number of events per bin is
yes.
5 or 6?
Right. What do you mean fluctuations?
Well, just statistical fluctuations per bin will be very large. I'm not misreading the plot, right? That is really the case.
Yeah, number of events here. Right. I'm not sure what do you mean by number. What fluctuations are you talking about?
Well, I'm just talking about when you actually have data at 100 inverse femtobarns, you only have 6 events per bin. It's not going to look so good. The error bars will be, you know, half the size
right
of each.
So here the bin size. So this is 64 GB.
Any last questions? Okay, let's thank Geraldine and take the lunch break.